Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
God has a calling for each and every one of us. And there's no insignificant task. There's no insignificant role. There's not a single person who, you know, they're just some leftover thing that God just needed somebody. Oh, we'll send them out there to do it, you know. No, he's created us. He's redeemed us. He's called us. And he's done that all with a specific plan and purpose in mind.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian continues his study in the book of Galatians. Join us as Pastor Brian begins his teaching on Galatians chapter 1, verse 15, in a message titled, The Call of God. Now, here's Pastor Brian.
So here we are in Galatians once again as we pick up our study here. And we're going to focus in on verse 15 of chapter 1 today, but I want to remind you of the bigger context of the epistle. So as we look through and as we read between the lines, we see that Paul had gone into the region of Galatia, and there was a very warm reception to his ministry, and many turned to Christ. And there was a beautiful, sweet work that was taking place. They were filled with the Spirit and miracles were happening among them. And, you know, it was just a wonderful, wonderful thing. You just get that feeling that it was a sweet, sweet work of God that was taking place there. But then something happened after Paul's departure. And what that was is that false teachers came in and they began to insist that trusting Christ alone for salvation was not really enough. What they said was that people needed to also keep the Mosaic law. But not only that, they also suggested that Paul wasn't really preaching the real gospel, that his gospel wasn't the true gospel. And they also suggested that Paul wasn't even really an apostle. Now, remember, Paul was not part of that original group of men who were with Jesus during his earthly ministry, but his apostleship came later. So these false teachers, they took advantage of these things, and they tried to discredit Paul in the eyes of the Galatians. So in verse 11 of chapter 1, Paul begins the defense of his apostleship. And this is going to go through the second chapter. And so these first two chapters of Galatians are a historical narrative. They're really quite fascinating because we learn things in these two chapters about things that were happening there in the early church that we don't learn in the book of Acts. Now, the book of Acts is, of course, that overview of the early days of the church, that historical overview, and we learn a lot of things in the book of Acts, but there are certain things that are not there, and Paul sheds light on that in these two chapters here. So it's pretty fascinating as we look at it. So he says in verse 11, "But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from men nor was taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ." So the first thing he does is he just pushes back on that idea that his gospel isn't really the true gospel. And he says, this gospel, he didn't even learn it from men. It was the Lord himself who taught Paul this gospel. Remember, the other apostles had a three-year training period with Jesus. But what Paul tells us here is that he also had a three-year training period with Jesus. And that was actually something that took place kind of privately in the Arabian wilderness, no doubt near Mount Sinai. So he is going to touch on that here in a moment. So he says, the gospel that he preaches is not from man. He received it from the Lord. But then he talks about his former life. Verse 13, "For you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. and I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the tradition of my fathers." Now, remember, these men are coming in under the guise of being experts in the faith. And they're coming in as, you know, part of their credentials is, you know, we're Jews. And we know that the gospel is incomplete without that addition of the Mosaic system. So right here, again, Paul is pushing back on that. And he says, well, you know, let me remind you of my former life, my former conduct in Judaism. He persecuted the church. He was so zealous. But then he says, and I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries. So it's like Paul saying, you know, these people are presenting themselves as somebody important coming to you from Jerusalem, perhaps. He says, well, I have credentials too. And I excelled in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries. Paul was a student of a man named Gamaliel. And Gamaliel was the leading rabbinical authority of Paul's day. And tradition tells us that Paul was really Gamaliel's number one student. And so he was looked at by the leadership in Jerusalem, the Jewish leadership, as you know, somebody who was really going to rise up and be a powerful force for the future within Judaism. But then, of course, something happened, and that was his conversion, and he goes on to describe that here. "But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood, nor did I go to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter, remained with him 15 days, but I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. Now concerning the things which I write to you, indeed, before God, I do not lie. Afterward, I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and I was unknown by face to the churches of Judea, which were in Christ, but they were hearing only, he who formerly persecuted us now preaches the faith which he once tried to destroy, and they glorified God because of me." So he's just setting the record straight here. He's, you know, they've been influenced by these false teachers, and Paul just walks them right through. No, my gospel is from the Lord. My background is I excelled beyond them all in Judaism. I know what I'm talking about. And then, you know, describing his own conversion and his own calling, and then talking about his own experience with Peter, which he will go into more detail in the second chapter. But for our purposes today, let's zero in on verse 15. So in verse 15 and 16, he speaks, first of all, he says, "But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb." And this is such an interesting statement, because if you think about it, you know, Paul is saying that, you know, his calling as an apostle, it was something that went back to his, at the time of his birth. But of course, if we looked at some of Paul's other writings, we would know that he understood that it went back even further than that, because the Bible tells us that we were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. And so Paul could have said that, but for his purposes here, he just goes back to his birth. But think about that, because between his birth and his conversion, we have all of these other things that transpired: persecuting the church of God, trying to destroy it. And, you know, as you look at that, you think, well, you know, how could Paul say that he was separated from his mother's womb and yet he ended up doing all of these things? And, you know, we might have a similar question when we think about our own lives at times. We might wonder, like, wow, Lord, how was it that all of this stuff happened? You know, between, you know, the time that I was born and when I finally came to know Christ, all of this other stuff. And, you know, for some people, it might be tragic stuff there. It might be really terrible stuff, horrific stuff. And you think, well, you know, did God know about that? Well, he did. And what Paul is expressing here is what we call the sovereignty of God. The sovereignty of God means that in the end, God is really overruling all of the affairs of life. And even those things that are transpiring when we don't know him. And you know, the interesting thing is we find, like Paul did, we find that when we finally do come to Christ, and as we look back and as we grow in the Lord, we realize that all of those experiences, good or bad, we realize that somehow they play into what God has ultimately planned for us. So it just shows us that God redeems even the tragic, sinful, evil experiences in our life. And this is true for all of us, really. And so Paul looks back and he sees that the separation to God was from birth. But then he speaks of his calling. God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me. And that's what happened to him. There was that moment where there was this undeniable encounter, this call from God. But it wasn't that this was the only time that this happened. You see, the Lord had been calling Paul, but he had been resisting the call. And we know that he had been calling Paul because when Jesus did appear to him on the road to Damascus, and when he was finally converted, Jesus, or as he appears in that light, you know, Acts chapter 9 tells us a story, that light that's brighter than the sun, and a voice speaks to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Saul says, "Who are you, Lord?" He said, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting." And then he said this, "It is hard for you to kick against the goads." What does that mean? Well, what that's referring to is the fact that Paul was resisting the call. The Lord had been dealing with him. The Lord had been convicting him. The Lord had been calling him. So the conviction of the Spirit, he keeps resisting it. But there finally comes this moment where Jesus encounters him in a powerful way on the road to Damascus. And it's here that he surrenders. It's here that he submits. And so he describes being called. And notice he says, "Who called me, separated me from the mother's womb and called me through his grace." Through his grace. Now, when you looked at who he was, you would think that God's dealing with him should have been not to call him to salvation on the road to Damascus, but to destroy him and cast him into hell forever. That's what it seemed like he deserved, right? Because he was on his way to Damascus to continue his rage against God's people. You know, sometimes in our minds, we think that people who end up in church, people who end up Christians, you know, they ended up there because, you know, after all, they were always basically good people anyway. No, that's the myth, but that's not the truth. The Bible tells us that anyone who becomes a Christian, anybody who's saved, anybody who's sitting in a congregation and genuinely believing in Jesus is there by the grace of God, not because we deserved it. And that's true for everyone. There's not a single person that's saved by anything less than God's grace. But then Paul says that he called me through his grace to reveal his son in me. To reveal his son in me. Or to reveal his son by me is the idea. So God has called us. He called Paul that he might reveal Jesus to others through Paul. And you know, the same is true with us. God has called us that he might in turn then reveal Jesus to others by us. God reveals his son to people through other people. And probably for all of us, at least, you know, to some degree, we would have to say that there was a person that we saw Jesus in, or we saw something different in that person. Now, that might not be the case for everyone, but I think for many, that would be the case. And that's I think most of the time the way God works. I mean, sometimes obviously he can just do that without any person being involved, but oftentimes this is it. There's a person, you observe them, you listen to them, you watch their life, you see that they're different. And you realize, you know, there's something there about this person. Then you find out, well, they're a Christian. They're a follower of Jesus. Well, that's interesting. And what's happening is God is revealing his son through people. And that's what he wants to do through us as well. He wants to show himself to others. God, of course, is invisible, right? How do we know that there's a God? Well, Romans chapter 1 says that we know there's the invisible God is revealed by the things that are seen. The creation tells us that there has to be a creator. But the invisible God is also revealed through people who are made in his image. And we see certain people that are different. They stand out. And that's because Christ is in them. But then, finally, he says that he was called to preach him. So called me through his grace to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the Gentiles. And this, of course, was Paul's calling, to preach Christ among the Gentiles. Now, what was true of Paul is true of each of us as well. His context is different. The outcome of his calling, of course, is different. But in principle, this is all true. And so let's just walk through those things real quickly once again, but let's make it more personal now. So separated. God has separated us as well. And yes, from birth, but even further back before the foundation of the world. But tell me, as a believer today, can you see that? Can you look back and you can connect these dots? Now, at a time, you couldn't do that at all. You're just in the midst of your life, and maybe you're in the midst of sin, and you're in the midst of all the brokenness that comes because of sin. And, you know, you don't see how this is ever going to become anything positive. You don't see how this could ever play out for good. But then you came to Christ. And now as you look back, you start to connect the dots, and you realize, wow, yeah, my whole life. There are all of these points along the way. God was doing things that I was unaware of at the time. But now that I'm saved, it makes sense. And like I said earlier, we might have things in our past life that were tragic. I might even have horrific things that we've experienced and gone through. But then again, those things become a platform. And God is able to redeem even those things. And we look back at them and we're no longer bound by them. We're no longer injured by them. We're no longer held back by them. We realize, you know, God used that so I could today do this. And even though it was an unpleasant and in some cases just an unspeakably, you know, tragic situation, you realize the sovereign power of God to redeem. And you look back and you realize, wow, I can say that I was separated from my mother's womb. And even all of those years where nothing seemed to make sense, man, now I see it. It's all working out. It's all revealing God's hand over the whole thing. And then, of course, there's that thing of being called. And you had that moment where you might have been resisting. You might have heard. You might have been running away from that. But there came that moment in time where that call was so strong that you knew you were confronted with that moment that I've got to make a decision. And you responded to that call. And of course, it was all by grace, because where you were at the time, you couldn't even imagine that God would call you. You couldn't even imagine that God would want you. You couldn't even conceive of God loving you because you knew your own state. You knew the sin in your life. You knew the wickedness and the evil. And you were maybe even tempted to say, you know, I'm too far gone. There's no way that God would want me. And so it brings us down to the thing that we've talked about on other occasions. It brings us down to the call of God. What is the call of God for your life? God has a calling for each and every one of us. And there's no insignificant task. There's no insignificant role. There's not a single person who, you know, there's just some leftover thing that God just needed somebody. Oh, we'll send them out there to do it, you know. No, he's created us. He's redeemed us. He's called us. And he's done that all with a specific plan and purpose in mind. And as I said a while back when we were teaching on the gifts of the Spirit, you remember maybe we talked about how in some cases we just sort of are naturally led into this thing, but it's really supernatural and we just have an inclination and we start going there. In other cases, an opportunity comes along and there's an opportunity. We're not really thinking much about it. We just feel like we ought to walk through that door, and we walk through that door of opportunity and we find, wow, this is the call of God. I didn't even know that I was going to step into the call of God. And then in some other cases, it doesn't happen like that, but it happens like, you know, you hear me preaching today and you say, you know, I don't really know what God's call is. God, would you show me what your call is? And then God begins to reveal that to you. Because it's the thing that God created you for. It's the thing that God planned for you from before the foundation of the world. It's the thing that God separated you at birth for, that very thing. And all of your life, all of the circumstances, the good and the bad, they have all been working together to bring you to this place so you could enter that call and fulfill it. And when you see life like that, you know, it changes the way you think about it. And it changes the way you live it. And that's what we want to do, right? We want to live the way God wants us to live. And that is living in the call of God. And the call of God expands and develops. And, you know, it changes. You go through seasons and periods. And, you know, it's not necessarily just one thing. It can be a variety of things. But the important thing is to just know that we're being led into that call, that plan, that purpose that God has for us, and the thing really ultimately that he created us for and he redeemed us for. And so, are you there? Are you in the call? Do you sense that, yes, I'm there in that place? Are you... Maybe at this stage, maybe you felt like, yeah, I really felt like I was there. But right now, maybe you're in a transitional place. You're wondering, well, what's the next thing? That's fine. Just keep seeking it. And maybe for some, it's like, you know, I don't know. I hear about this thing, the call of God, and I hear about his plan. And I just, you know, I don't think I've really begun to step into what that really is for me. You know, that's okay too. Just keep asking the Lord. Just keep seeking him. And something will come your way. And you'll just sense that, yeah, I'm supposed to do this right now. And then you'll find yourself doing something and realizing, wow, this is good. It flows. I just feel like I was created to do this. And that's exactly the case. You were created to do it. You were redeemed to do it. You were empowered to do it by God. And so as we live our lives. And as I said before, and I'll just say this again in closing, you know, we're living in a strategic time, I think, in the history of the world. I think we're living in a strategic time in our nation's history. And I really do think that it's the church's time. We have a golden opportunity to really shine. And we're going to shine best if we're all in that place of the call of God and doing that thing that he's created us to do. That's when the impact of the church will be even greater, and we need the church to have a great impact on our world today.
For the month of December, Back to Basics Radio is offering a book titled Flirting with Darkness, Building Hope in the Face of Depression by Ben Corson. Suicide has become an epidemic. Depression has gripped the lives of young people in alarming numbers. Many are living with depression without realizing that there is hope, but depression can be defeated. There is hope, and Ben shares the practical tools that can help defeat depression. The book Flirting with Darkness, Building Hope in the Face of Depression by Ben Corson is our gift to say thank you for your donation to Back to Basics. So we encourage you to call us right now, at 0208-466-5365 or visit us online at brianbrodersen.uk. We'd also like to remind you that all of our other resources are waiting for you by dialing 0208-466-5365 or by writing us at Back to Basics Radio, P.O. Box 647, Bromley, Kent, BR14WQ. Tomorrow, we'll be taking a break from our study through Galatians and beginning a special two-part Christmas message titled, Christmas, God's Great Rescue Mission. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.